So the next event I would like to discuss is the Boston Marathon bombing,
Oh, yes.
right? Which I would categorize as a hoax event rather than a false flag. And it's not something that necessarily involves guns, but it does, involve bombs. And this is something that occurred in 2013. And if you would like to give a little bit of background on the Boston bombing before I discuss a certain special guest appearance and a clip that we can get into. But first, a little bit of background if you like, dear.
Okay. Yes, I covered the Boston bombing also in that presentation. The Boston police actually announced to the people that there would be a drill prior to the event actually happening. If you look at the explosions that are going off, those are Hollywood style explosions. It's like fake ordnance. You'll notice that one of the buildings, the glass blew out instead of in. So they already had like some basic, pyrotechnics set up in the building. Now, obviously, you had crisis actors in this event, also people who were in a very, in a staged area where these people were laying around looking bloody as possible. Only problem is one of them actually had the can of fake blood right next to her. This is a woman who supposedly had broken her tibia and fibula
So,
and.
Daryl, I just want to point out within these events, how would you say that when, and we're going to get into our list, but how would you say that the blood looks at some of these events versus how it looks in a real situation?
Well, I mean, people are squeamish sometimes about blood, but if you look at the blood that was shown to you at the Boston bombing, it's very, very red, looks like ketchup, or paint. Doesn't look like blood. It just is made to look, very, very bright red. Real blood would be a little darker, a little more maroon in color, because of the way that the arteries will pump it out if you're have a gaping wound. Okay, now there was a man who was paraded around in a wheelchair with one leg, and he claimed his leg was blown off. They just stuck a tourniquet on him and put him in a wheelchair and paraded him around instead of taking him to the hospital. He would have been dead, and all the blood would have flown out that major artery in his leg, and he would have been dead in minutes. But they used a crisis actor. They used somebody. His name was Nick Vogt, who was a veteran of either Iraq or Afghanistan, and his leg was already amputated ahead of time. So he played the role of this victim having his leg blown off. And the guy wheeling him around was another crisis actor. His name was Carlos Arredondo. He wore the big cowboy hat. Many people remember that. So yeah, I'd like to
I
see.
think in many of these situations, if someone has a background in, some kind of medical background, I think it's a lot easier to look at the information and the photographs. Often these very precise, very well done professional photographs that are suddenly taken out of a traumatic event. I think it's a lot easier to understand how some of this is fake or how something's not right, because, like you mentioned, that's one of my favorites. You have this person sitting in a wheelchair being carried by these people, and his leg is like somewhat wrapped up, but this is someone who is well established to have an injury before this marathon at all. And you can see at certain events the very, very brightness of the blood is kind of odd. And also some of these events, we see people walk around with packets of fake blood, and then also we see people walk around distributing the fake packets or putting them in certain places, which does occur. Or some of these events, we see, I believe this event, there's a bag lady who hasn't quite gotten the memo of where she's supposed to be, and we see her all over the place. In certain events, we'll see certain continuous characters that seem to pop up in a multitude of photos that are taken over and over. And of course, the mainstream is suddenly, right there. You can say, well, it's a marathon. You're going to have media all over it anyway. But we also see odd things. There's a video of some kind of glass or an explosion or something, but there's items on a table that are still perfectly stacked, neat, and orderly. And yet, this explosion was supposed to be so traumatic that it's torn through people's limbs. But yet, that seems to be an inconsistency. So many of these there's inconsistencies as to what was reported and also visually as to what was happened. And that was a crazy situation where the Boston Marathon bombing, where we saw SWAT teams go around house to house of people, invading their privacy, going on their property without any kind of permission, and just complete disregard for any sort of constitutional policies, you know, as they were searching for these people that they accused of having this rice cooker sort of bomb thing in a black backpack. And we were also presented with a multitude of different images of different backpacks. It's being told to, you know, what, which backpack it actually was or something. So even if we were to say, okay, it's easy for the media to get it wrong in the moment, there were just too many inconsistencies with that one.
Yes, the Dzarnia brothers. The Dzarnia brothers did not even have that backpack. There was an FBI agent who was carrying a backpack, and it was actually full of smoke bombs to make the scene look more authentic.
Yeah, and there's a clip that I would like for you to pull up. There was a special guest in 2013 at that Boston Marathon bombing. She goes by the name of Dr. Leanna Wen. You might know her as the medical analyst for CNN, who has been one of the harshest people to talk about COVID policies, one of the biggest promoter of lockdowns and shutdowns and vax passports. She has just been on it for getting children COVID vaccinated. If you could pull up that clip.
The doctors, the EMTs, how are they coping in the aftermath? And what if they were missing their own relatives while they were saving the lives of those injured? Joining me now is Dr. Leanna Wen. She's an emergency room physician who was working at Massachusetts General Hospital the day of the terror attack. She also works at Brigham and Women's Hospital. So you were at Massachusetts General Monday. What happened?
Oh, it was a horrific day. We had no idea what was coming. It was 3 o'clock and we heard that there were two explosions, but we didn't know where. We had no idea how many people were coming to us.
How many people came?
It seemed like dozens, and it was. It was probably nearly 3 dozen patients in 2 hours or so.
And was the hospital ready for it? I had heard from Dr. Walls from the other Brigham and Women's Hospital that because of all the drills the hospitals here have been running since 9/11, you were unbelievably prepared.
Technically and medically, we were ready. We had done drills. We knew what to do with each individual patient who came in. But I've never seen trauma like this before. The volume and the nature of the trauma was really chilling and really shocking.
And on a personal note, you hadn't yet heard from your husband while this was all going on. And then you hear a cell phone ring. You reach into your pocket, but it wasn't your cell phone ringing.
Yeah, so we actually live just a block away from here, from Copley Square. And my husband had told me that he was coming to watch at the finish line. And then we heard that the explosions happened. So while I was treating patients, I had no idea whether the next patient was going to be my husband. I really thought because there was soot and blood everywhere, I thought there was a good chance that the next patient I'd be seeing on the stretcher would turn out to be my husband.
But he was okay.
He ended up being unharmed, but I couldn't reach him for hours because of phone lines being full and all these things. So.
One of the things that Dr. Walls told me is that he talked to his protege who works in Colorado and dealt with the Aurora shootings. And he said, what's one piece of advice? And he said, we took care of our people, the emotional trauma that they felt, but you can always do more. It still wasn't enough. Have you found that? Or are the doctors and nurses and others who work at the hospital, are they still dealing with this and struggling with it?
Absolutely. I know that. I certainly do. I have nightmares. And whenever I hear sirens or the loudspeaker for the ambulance going off, I think about Monday. And it's something that I know I have to do better at. I need to take care of myself and our colleagues in order for us to take care of our patients going forward, too.
Well, thank you for the work you do, Dr. Wen. And I'm glad you're okay. And keep up the great work.
Thank you.
That's astounding, you know. And she mentioned Aurora. That's a lot of things, a lot of telltale things people do is they mention past hoaxes and try to give them more credibility. Aurora was another fake one as well. I mean, that's the first one I cover in my presentation. I mean, the police responded within 1 minute. It's physically impossible. This is like, you know, there's no way a team of armed police are going to show up within 1 minute of a shooting event. There's just no way. Unless it's a hoax and it's planned ahead of time.
Yeah. And for her, you know, they're against like a green screen or something. Jake Tapper, love that guy. His favorite place to eat pizza at is Comet Pizza with his family, just a fun family joint. We could go on about him and the news media and their own crisis actors, but he's interviewing her, and she's got the femme fatale thing. She's smirking. She's just, like, recalling all this information in a very calm manner. It's very strange. And then, of course, you know, many people know of her now with her involvement in COVID as one of the biggest cheerleaders. She was one of the few people being interviewed more recently within the past few years where she said that window of opportunity is closing where we can tie your freedom to your vaccination status.